This segment of the show is brought to you by Miss Kitty's Steakhouse in Williams. The Jeff Horvitz Show starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horvitz here. Happy to be here with you today. I had a great weekend. I hope you did as well. Love your comments. I got a super busy show. We'll get to some of those comments and get those in anytime. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Senator Wendy Rogers here in just a second to update us on some election integrity issues and a continuing resolution that came out here, I believe. We'll get all the details about this election move here in Arizona to try to secure the elections coming up here for 2024 a bit more. Speaking of Moore as well, I have Stephen Moore, who is an economist with the Heritage Foundation. You probably recognize that name. He's written for the Wall Street Journal as well, and we'll get to him too. And I've got in the second hour of the show, Rob Wilson. You all know Rob. He owns Timberline Firearms and Training. We've got a lot of issues, top news picks, and much more to hit on in the second hour. Probably we'll never have enough time to get through all of that. I am glad that I have Big Jim over at Crazy Country Boys Services to let me bring Senator Rogers in here real quick. Senator Rogers, how you doing today?
Hey, great to be with you at home, of course, here in Flagstaff, but I have to phone it in because I have done a lot of interviews today.
Yeah,
you've been
busy, yeah. So we'll get to all your stuff here in just a second. But I'm glad I had Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services on speed dial yesterday. Senator Rogers, I was on I-17 with my pickup pulling a trailer, and the thing just died, like right by that Sedona exit going uphill, and there's like no shoulder. And so it just like totally went down to 1,000 RPM. I had to pull over. I was one of those people you see on the side of the road there. And then the weirdest thing happened. I turned the ignition off, pulled the key out, and the truck didn't shut. I was sitting there for a minute. You know, I was like, the truck's still running. And finally, I called Big Jim of Crazy Country Boy Services, and he's like, I guess just pull the fuse. And I had to pull the fuse out and call a tow truck. I had a $430 ride up the mountain yesterday. That was a good one.
And how old is your vehicle?
It's new, 2005. I consider that newer, you know.
You've got me beat. I've got a 2002 that's got 410,000 miles on it sitting right here.
There you go. I have the old Chevy Tahoe from 03 and has 200,000. Never had this issue. I actually had it fixed 8 months ago. The same thing happened, so I'm bringing it back here. Still under warranty on that part. But, yeah, anyway, Jim over at Crazy Country Boy, he's like, yeah, just pull the fuse, I guess. That's just the way to go. And fortunately, it worked. I started thinking it was going to overheat as it just sat there, just running and running. Anyway, Senator Rogers, beyond car problems and old cars, which we're all going to be driving old cars here in America, right? Because they want us all
indeed
to go to electric cars. So we're going to be like Cuba soon. So what happened, Senator Rogers? This is a colleague of yours, Senator Borelli. He put out SCR 1037, reclaiming plenary power per the U.S. Constitution over our federal elections. And you sent me a message on this earlier. You said this is a huge thing. Break this one down for us.
Right. So we passed SCR, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1037, some time ago, weeks ago. And it kind of didn't rise to the level of consciousness of folks who watch this sort of thing. And we honestly intentionally didn't accentuate it. And what it does is it, as you said, reclaims plenary authority for the state legislature to oversee federal elections, not state elections, federal. The United States Constitution is very specific in ascribing that authority to state legislatures across the country to determine the time and manner of the federal elections. Now, in 2017, the federal government came out with one of many statements that spoke to the critical infrastructure of election machines and their vulnerabilities. And so the five pages of our concurrent resolution enumerates this down to the, you know, names of Dominion and ES&S and so forth. Bottom line being, we, the state legislature now, have stepped forward and said, we are reclaiming our authority. So counties, all 15 counties, must not use machines for federal elections unless they can comply with all of these criteria enumerated in the 5 pages of how the Department of Defense secures machines, because election machinery is part of critical infrastructure.
Okay, so Senator Rogers, this right now the counties run these machines in Arizona, correct? They decide, each county's a little different. Am I incorrect in that?
Right. You're correct. And I'm sure some of them got this communique from our Senate Majority Leader, Senator Borelli, and probably spilled coffee on it this morning and had a little hard time realizing. Because what this says is that the federal elections, i.e. Candidates running for president, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, and so forth, those will be run without machines, because it's nigh unto impossible to comply with these criteria as set forth in these pages of our resolution.
Okay, so you're saying you can't use machines unless it fits, and I have, unfortunately, you know, I've been kind of, it's like herding cats today. We've both been so busy. I haven't read the full 5 pages yet, but if you had to sum it up, what are some of the kind of the bullet points here as to what those machines need to, what the specifications are?
Oh, they have, every part has to be built in the United States. Nothing can be built outside the United States. Also, they can't be, they have to be tested in certain ways. And they have to not be able to be corrupted or to be vulnerable in any way. And in these 5 pages, again, it elucidates all this detail of how it has been shown to be the case with these machines. And so all of that would have to be overcome. And it's critical.
This is
brilliant.
Is it feasible to build all of the component, when you say all of the components in these machines, are you talking down to the nuts and bolts, the screws and fasteners, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, is it that detailed, and is that practical in this world where we don't always make everything here unfortunately, in the U.S. anymore?
Precisely. So what's more practical? What's more logical? What's more reliable? Paper.
And then what do you do? Are you saying you can't even, can you tally those through machines, or they would have to follow these specifications as well in this SCR 1037? Because, you know, if you go back to paper and you just fill in the circle at the poll, usually it tallies through a machine, correct?
Well, that can be a backup, but okay. Certainly it can be hand counted at the precinct level. We've been doing this for decades and to great effect. And so that can be done. This is not impossible. We have been led to believe that we require all this gadgetry, when in actuality, that has made it cost more. It has made it less reliable, far more subject to fraud and corruption, as we now have seen in the past 3 days with the Kerry Lake lawsuit.
Which we're still waiting, and I have a listener comment I'll get to here in a little bit, folks, asking about the status on that. We're basically waiting. There was a 3-day trial. We're waiting for the judge's results any day or any week at this point, as far as looking at the signatures, I believe, on the mail-in ballots is what the primary point of the case was, correct?
Well, right, but irrespective of what the outcome of the judicial ruling is, it was the sheer magnitude of hundreds of thousands of signatures that were quote unquote verified in milliseconds, which is humanly impossible. And so, and it was done, from home in many cases, that the witnesses said, which is completely non-secure. So the point of all the Kerry Lake lawsuit, and I won't belabor that because that's not today's topic, The point of it is what the information was that came out of it. And the fact is, more and more of this information is coming out. And I was on an interview earlier today, and the thought and the notion was put to me, oh, but doesn't this diminish someone like Carrie Lake, you know, politically and so forth? And my answer was, that is secondary. What's primary to her, to me, to Borelli, to all of us in the legislature that I can speak for, is that the truth comes out. And this is what is happening, Jeff, throughout the country. You're seeing this on Twitter. You're seeing this with the Hunter Biden stuff, with our U.S. Congress and our great Eli Crane. You're seeing more and more truth coming out. So as I said earlier today, truth is a demanding mistress, and it's going to take time, and we have time. This is more important than anything else, that the truth comes out.
If this, let's get back to SCR 1037, and we're talking with Senator Wendy Rogers. What's the practical aspect of this, I guess, going forward? Does it force the county? I got two questions for you. Does it force the counties to basically do a polling place election unless they follow these, which it seems like it's such a high bar, it's going to be hard to follow? And the second question is, well, let's start with that, and I'll follow up with that.
Well, I think it will be up to them. And, you know, different counties manage things differently. And I thought you were going to ask me, well, do you really think the follow through will occur?
Yeah, I was getting to that.
I expect it'll go to court. But here's the deal. We have three branches of government, and the legislative branch is arguably the strongest by design, yet it's the most difficult to manage, because there are so many of us, you know, you have to herd so many cats. Mm-hmm. But it's strong because of that. And to wit, our Senate especially is exceptionally strong right now. And I've talked to you about this before. We 16 Republicans in the majority are incredibly united. We don't all agree on, you know, this, that, or the other on the political spectrum, but we are extremely loyal to one another, loyal to the cause, loyal to the team, and very much, you know, have each other's back. And when I had this hearing in Flagstaff, 10 days ago or so, three of my colleagues on 3 hours of sleep each drove up to support me, which is testament to how glued together we are. So as when the legislature does get its act together the way we have, and the way we've been led, we're very powerful. And that's a good thing. And that's what the founders envisioned. And we are reclaiming that power.
And that's what this is about, is reclaiming that power. This you're saying this will give the ability to basically do is the goal here to do the polling place elections, to get back to paper ballots, you know, in person on the day of the election. Is that kind of the point of this, this continuing resolution?
Well, it's actually a concurrent resolution.
I'm sorry, concurrent. Sorry,
it's okay. If that ends up being the case, as I said earlier on Tucson radio this morning, you know, that would be ideal. But I don't know that that is really sort of the goal, quote unquote. The goal is to have accurate, free, and fair elections as we determine that as the state legislature. And I would also say that we need to be a blueprint. The 49 other states in the United States need to do this too, because each state legislature has this power. And again, this is over the federal elections. Now, I need to mention, we actually did a bill to have this occur with the state elections too, the state ballot. And that went through both the House and the Senate, but Hobbs vetoed it.
Okay. How did this one not get vetoed? Or did it
it doesn't go to her.
Okay, it's a resolution.
Well, it goes to the Secretary of State.
Okay.
And he was actually in the room, interestingly, as I recall, in committee when we passed this. And he shot up out of his seat and ran out and made a phone call after we passed it. So I don't know who he was talking to, but he knows that it's, imminent, and it was to his office that it was transmitted.
Okay. So you probably expect lawsuits over this, I would imagine, coming forward.
It's hard to say, but
yeah. I expect it.
You know, I was, but we have to do this. This is, every day that we don't fight, we lose. We have to fight for the truth, We have to fight for our God-given rights, and we have to fight for what the U.S. Constitution endowed us with. We have to.
Yeah, Senator Rogers, I have no problem with going back to, and I know it's you're saying it's not the direct goal of this, but I have no problem with going back to you show up at the poll and you vote on election day, except for certain cases, military overseas, et cetera, et cetera. The system that we've got was never intended to be the way to vote. It was convenience for some in some situations, but I don't see what the problem is. Everybody going to the poll on election day and voting for things and taking the time to do that. I don't know why we've gotten to a society where we got to do things over a 3 or 4 week period and mail it in. It's just, but I don't know if it's going to happen, but we'll see what happens with this and any potential lawsuits coming up. Senator Rogers, I appreciate it. Keep us up to date on this one.
Thank you. I'm here to serve, and I'll keep you posted. God bless America. We need it.
Absolutely. I mean, you got another 3 hours. We can talk about all the craziness. I mean, we do need it. Right? All right, Senator.
Thank you, Jeff.
I appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, I'd love to hear from you. Send in an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Yeah, when we get to Stephen Moore in just a little bit, I'm going to talk about the debt ceiling as well. They're going to take care of this. It's going to be at the last minute. I don't know how they're going to do it. They're going to come to some deal and spend a whole bunch of money, raise the debt ceiling. So don't worry about that. I'm not worried about it at all, actually. Or they're going to roll out $1 trillion platinum coin or something like that. So we'll talk with him a little bit about that. Plus empowerment scholarship accounts, how Hobbs is trying to get rid of that. He wants to chime in on that as well. Hey, I played this game the other day, Noah's Ark Card Game of Promise. I highly encourage you and your family to play this. It's got scripture and it's got a lot of animals, and it's great education for all ages, especially the kids. We had a great time with this. For just $18, you can get this game by going to noahsarkcardgame.com. Noah's Ark Card Game of Promise. Don't be fooled by any knockoff imitations out there. This is the original right here in Arizona, by the way. Share this with your friends and family. You can also get a 6-pack for $99. Go to noahsarkcardgame.com. That's noahsarkcardgame.com. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Comments, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Let's see here. Before I get to Stephen Moore, talk about the economy, talk about the debt ceiling and all that kind of stuff. Don't forget, we got the giveaway going on right now. This is actually the last week because, as you know, I am going. Let me give you a kind of a preview of what I've got planned. Obviously, we've got full shows all week through Friday. But every day after the show, I'm working on extra interviews because next week I'm actually going to be gone. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. This is a rare thing for me to do to take off. But I plan on having all new shows for you next week on topics with guests, interviews, things like that, that I'm working on this week. And then the following week will be some reruns that week. It's long overdue after 7 years of taking just a 2 week solid time off. But like I said, I'm really only taking 1 week off because I will have all new programming for you next week. If the debt ceiling gets resolved, which I expect it to over this long Memorial Day weekend coming up, like on Saturday or Sunday is when they'll probably do. I've been doing this for too long to know that they're going to raise the ceiling, the debt ceiling. They're going to figure it out, or they're going to do something, roll out some kind of $1 trillion platinum coin or some, they're going to come up with some gimmick to keep the whole thing going and not default on the debt. But they're defaulting on the debt anyway by printing a bunch of money, by devaluing your dollar. They're just really doing it dishonestly at this point, and they're just doing it over a long time. So anyway, that may, who knows, come back Monday and they may have this resolved by that point. But anyway, I'm going to take some time off. So we decided to do the drawing on, on Friday, for this week's big giveaway. So check that out. Kelly Broaddus has a great $50 card, gift card up there. Talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways. And Kelly Broaddus is putting up a Warner's Nursery gift card. So that's a cool one because it's the time to plant right now. My corn is doing great, by the way, in Camp Verde. We have radishes the size of small potatoes. I have a lettuce field going on. Lettuce is just sprouting everywhere. We had salads all weekend. It was absolutely awesome. So thanks to Kelly for that, for Warner's Nursery gift card. Kelly's got extensive experience, as you know, in the Flagstaff market. So if you're thinking about selling a home, she's going to help you get the highest price possible because she's got a full team of dedicated professionals going to be with you every step of the way. Don't believe me? Well, Google Kelly Broaddus or whatever you use. What's that other one? DuckDuckGo or any of the others. And check out her many 5-star reviews. That's Broaddus. Or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Or call Kelly right now at 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. Okay, let's get to a couple other ones here before we get to Stephen Moore and then Rob Wilson in the second hour. More trans sports woes over the weekend. I saw this one. High school senior finishes fourth place after some guy who says he's a girl takes second place. This is from the Daily Mail. Unhappy at the finish line, California high school athlete gives big thumbs down after being pushed out of the state finals by a trans runner as parents clash with protesters and yell out, "That's disgusting," and so on and so forth. Another one here, Hannah Arensman, A-R-E-N-S-M-A-N, a super cyclist, took another fourth place finish here after a trans guy, a guy who says he's a girl now, took third place. And another trans person took fifth place. These are women's cycling races. She has now decided to retire from the sport, not happy with the way that this is all going. So this continues. I'm seeing these articles all the time. People always said, oh, this is an outlier. This is just happening once in a while here or there. But every day I look, I see headlines that somebody's lost out, somebody came in fourth, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just really frustrating and sad to see women that have worked so hard to get, and you know, we spend a lot of time on this because I think this is front and center culture war here. They've spent so much time trying to get their own sports, trying to, you know, bring all these over to decades and have their own categories, et cetera, et cetera. And here you go. You got people, especially the seniors. Imagine you finish fourth and you're maybe trying to get a scholarship or something and somebody takes another place and takes the podium and you're out and probably missing that scholarship as well. I don't know, you seeing us out there, love to hear from you. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. All right, let's come back. We'll talk with Stephen Moore, get an update on the economy, the debt ceiling. Plus, let's talk about how Hobbs is really pushing. He's got his organization has a new commercial out right now about how Hobbs is trying to take away the empowerment scholarship here in Arizona. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Get your comments in. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Always love hearing from you. Hey, if you get a chance to drive on out to Williams, beautiful downtown Williams. When I think of Williams, I think of Route 66. I think of small western towns. I also think of my good friend out there, former Mayor John Moore. Stop by Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. I think we got 3 or 4 food sponsors now on the program. I'm always starving when we do this show. Go on out to Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. They've got great steaks, great meals out there. Plus, don't forget about breakfast from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. First-class breakfast out there. Go to Williams. Have a great time. Get a great meal. Miss Kitty's Steakhouse. That's MissKittysSteakhouse.com. You want to check out the menu as well. I've got Stephen Moore with us. Stephen, how you doing today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
Are you back in D.C.? I always like to know where our folks are.
I am back in D.C. Yeah. I'm back in the swamp.
You're an economist. You've written for the Wall Street Journal. Now you're a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, and I appreciate the work Heritage Foundation does. Let me get your take on the debt ceiling. I was telling everyone, hey, don't worry, they're going to figure this out. It probably happened like, you know, Sunday, right before Memorial Day coming up. What's your take on the debt ceiling?
Well, it matters a lot, you know, what the deal is. You know, the idea of just Biden's lunatic idea of just giving him an unlimited credit card and letting him raise the debt ceiling as much as he wants was crazy. I hope most people realize that.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a $31 trillion debt headed to $51 trillion. That is an abomination. It'll be a financial catastrophe if we allow that to happen. So, you know, I'm not always a rah-rah Republican, but I think in this case, I think they've got the angels on their side. They're trying to get cut back on some of this massive spending. Remember, when Biden came in, he spent $6 trillion. It was the most financially irresponsible spending spree in American history. And so we got to start, you know, reining in that spending, and it's got to start now. And so I hope Republicans don't fold here because they hold all the cards. And one other point I'd make to your listeners, I think it's probably an obvious point, but some people may not realize this, is that right now there's only one game in town. The only bill that's passed anything is the bill that the Republicans passed. And in the Senate, which is run by the Democrats, they have passed nothing.
Yeah. I've talked to, you know, like Gosar, Eli Crane, you know, they supported the bill that you're talking about, the spending bill, the discretionary spending bill. I talked to also Andy Biggs. He's on the show all the time, and he was a holdout.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I think he's going to be on this week. And, you know, I get frustrated because I'm in my seventh year doing this show, and I'm like, when are we going to stop spending? We're at almost $32 trillion. You're talking about 50-something trillion. I'm almost to the point where Democrats are hopeless. They're driving us right off the cliff, but the Republicans, they're still spending a lot, even if we get
That's
this
true.
Package. Where do you see this? Is it even possible to pay off the national debt at this point, Stephen?
Well, we don't have to pay it off, but we have to make sure that the economy is growing faster than the debt, you mm-hmm. know, and that we don't, pretty soon the debt will be twice as large as our entire economy. That's a pretty frightening story. And that's not a story that has a happy ending, right? So we can't allow that to happen. And, but you're right. Look, both parties, I'm not here to tell you the Republicans are, you know, the most wonderful people on the planet. I mean, they love to spend money too.
Yeah.
As you know, I worked for Donald Trump. I was great admirer of so much of what he did and was one of the senior economic advisors. But, you know, even Trump likes to spend money, you know, and, you know, when I see the president, I say, you know, we spent too much money, Mr. President. You know, we did a lot of great things. We spent too much money. But that's what politicians like to do. They love to play Santa Claus. So we have got to get this debt under control. I think it'll be interesting to see. You're there in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Kristen Sinema will be interesting to see whether she would vote for a debt ceiling extension that it would pay for all this massive spending. It doesn't pay for it. It just allows an increase in the debt ceiling. The other point I want to make to your listeners is it's a bunch of hullabaloo, this idea that phony baloney, this idea that we're going to default on the debt. The chances of that happening are zero. Zero. So, by the way, the 14th Amendment prohibits that from happening. You know, constitutionally, we can't default on our debt. 14th Amendment requires that Congress pay it to the debtors. You know, if you've got a bond, the Constitution stands behind that. So it means we have to pay the bonds. Now, does it mean we'll have enough money for foreign aid and Department of Education and Department of Labor and those kind of? No. But would you lose a lot of sleep if we had to shut those down for a while?
No, I sleep better.
I sleep better. You know what? I'd sleep better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Steve. They're going to find the money. I mean, they had $3 billion accounting error this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so we'll be able to pay the bonds. So why is that? You know, this is so shameful, Joe Biden, to run around the country saying we're going to default on our debt. No, we're not. We're going to shut down the Department of Education and the Department of Energy and the Department of, we're not going to spend $300 billion on green energy. That's very different than defaulting on the debt. So, you know, it's shameful because, you know, President Biden and his Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, are running around, oh my God, we're going to default. Yeah. And that's, you know, spooking, you know, the bondholders unnecessarily. So, I think Kevin McCarthy has done a great job. They got that bill through the House. everything in that bill is very defensible. We're going to require people to work. They're going to get welfare. Gee, what a concept, right? We're going to take away the $150 billion student loan bailouts. I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay for deadbeats who didn't pay their student loans. Are you for that?
No, I mean, I've been talking about the student loan debt forever, too. It's like, ridiculous. Hey, what's next? House? Car?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything that's financed.
Don't give them any ideas. Stop.
Nothing surprises me anymore, what they come up with.
Have you heard of this latest thing, by the way, that Biden wants to do, where if let's say you pay a high down payment on your home and you've got a good credit rating, have you followed this?
Oh, yeah. You got to pay more. Yeah, because you're a better credit risk.
How stupid is that? The whole world, I feel like, under Biden is upside down. Everything is about redistributing income, and they're talking about reparation payments. They're talking about just taking money from people who work and are successful and, work 40 hours a week. And by the way, why shouldn't somebody who's collecting government benefits work for them? I mean, I don't even understand the logic of that. I believe in a safety net. I don't want people to go hungry or lose their homes, but I also don't want to have people lose, I want people to work
pick up some trash or something. I mean, you can do something, right? I mean, for all the money they're getting, it's crazy. Every day I look at them, like, I can't believe, what they come up with. Nothing surprises me anymore. But circling back to, do you think there's a chance on the debt ceiling? Every year we hear about this and you see, like, Yellen will be rolling out the $1 trillion platinum coin. Or you think that'll ever happen, or they'll just come up with the money? Did we lose you, Stephen?
Hello.
There you go.
Sorry, I lost you there for a minute.
You're going through one of those tunnels.
Yeah. Right back.
Yeah, is the $1 trillion platinum coin ever going to come to play? They talk about that every year when they come up with all these absurd plans for the debt ceiling.
Yeah, I don't get that one. I don't see the logic of that.
Okay.
Look, we have to cut government spending. We have to grow the economy. It's that simple. We're cut. Look, if you've got a spending problem, you have to stop spending.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. And you have to get more income. And the way you get more income is not by raising taxes, but by growing the economy. We have, by the way, under Trump, we had record amounts of revenues into the government, even with the Trump tax cut, which brought a lot of money into the U.S. economy. So I just believe very strongly that we need to have an economy that is not burdened by a debt that is, when I first came to Washington, I can believe it's 1984, the entire national debt was about $2 trillion. Now it's $31 trillion, headed to $50 trillion.
Yeah. And what was this?
We thought $2 trillion was an abomination. Now, it's 10 times larger.
Exactly. And the percentage of government spending that makes up the economy is, I've seen numbers 40-50+%. If you take in the state and locals and all that, I mean, it's absurd. The founding fathers are rolling over in their graves when they see that. All right. Let's move on to something more based here in Arizona, which is you're on the committee to unleash prosperity. And I saw one of your ads against Hobbs wants to kill the ESAs. I have to tell you, we're not using the ESAs at this point, but we use tax credits. I know a lot of people, our kids go to a private Christian school now after the public school debacles we've gone through.
Yeah.
This is a great plan. This is a great thing that the legislature did. They made a mistake, though. They didn't put an inflation accelerator in there, unfortunately.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we found out about that afterwards, and that may kill it over time. But she really wants, and you're running ads right now on this with Unleashed Prosperity. She really wants to kill this thing. Do you think she's going to do it? I don't think she can do it this session, but obviously moving in that direction.
No, I was under the understanding she signed the bill this year. But here's the problem, and this is why I wanted to come on your show, because this is like a five-star emergency. So if the Democrats take over the legislature, and I think you have a one-seat majority for the Republicans in each house,
correct?
She will kill this program. And that's like 60, 70,000 kids that will be forced to go to lousy schools instead of having the school of their choice. That is an abomination. We cannot allow that to happen. And so, I'm not a rah-rah Republican. I'm not here to tell you folks that Republicans are the solution to all our problems. I'm telling you that this program that you have for school choice in Arizona is epic. It is being, it's being imitated and a model for at least 8 to 10 states right now, and probably as many as 15. So you have a great program. It literally makes Arizona, you should be proud of that program. It's great for your Hispanic kids and your minority kids and low-income kids. They're getting to be able to go to the school of their choice, whether it's a Catholic school or whether it's a math school or a science school or whatever it is that, you know, works for the kids. I have three sons and two stepsons, and every one of them is different talents, different interests, different behavior issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, this idea of warehousing all the kids in the same schools is ridiculous.
It's old school thinking, pun intended.
Yeah,
it's something from the 1800s there. It's like, because you're right, I have three kids, and I'm always amazed at how different they are, different natural abilities. And you're like, where did that come from?
Am I sure I'm the father?
Get some testing done here. It's been great. And I'm in that. And I mean, so many people have come to rely on that, and you're right on the numbers. And I think that when we did apply for the ESAs, we haven't taken it up on yet because, like I said, we're still using the tax credits. But when we applied a couple months ago, and I had on, Superintendent, Tom Horn on this issue,
right.
The number was like 90,000 that had actually applied. So there's out of what, 1.2 million school kids here in the state, there's a huge demand.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I believe the only problem I have with your program in Arizona is I don't want to shrink it. Why shouldn't every single child in the, you know, school kid in the state have the opportunity to go to the school? Why should it just be rich kids that have that an opportunity? You know, I was lucky when I was growing up, you know, I lived in a good school district and I got a good education, but the kids a few miles down the street didn't have that kind of opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the things, that's why I laugh when people say, oh, this is just for the rich people. What are they talking about? The rich people already have school choice. It's the people, you know, the lower and middle incomes that can't afford that are really getting screwed by the system. And so, let's make sure, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but you're the one who has to save this program and make sure that it doesn't go away, because it is fantastic. It's helping. And we talked to a bunch of these Hispanic parents, and they love we got this girl on tape for people who haven't seen the ad, and she's great. She's just like, I love my school. I don't want the governor to take away my teacher from me, you know, and that, you know, speaks volumes. If you love your teacher and you love your school, why would you take that away from the kids?
I don't get it. Why? Why do they care? I've said this before, Stephen. We left the public schools and they really didn't, in my opinion, like us. My daughter was leading a protest over the masks at the time at this charter school. And it's like, they really didn't even want us there. And I look at it and I say, we save them money. We get $7,000 if we do the ESAs that follow us to the private school. The average cost right now for the public school is like $13,000. And they're running around. Exactly. You should see how ridiculous the rhetoric is. They're running down saying, we're about to bankrupt the system. You know, it's
ridiculous.
I know. I don't know where they get it from.
You know, in most states, including Arizona, you can get a better education at half the cost in the Catholic school system. So you could give the parents half the amount of money that the public school system spends, and that kid would be able to get out of school. And the school district would save like $7,000. So it's a win-win for everyone. And you know what's driving this debate. Of course you know. I mean, everyone knows. It's the militant teachers' unions, the people who shut down our schools so outrageously and so, you know, and doing so much damage to our kids, because let's face it, teachers' unions don't care about kids. They care about their union. And so, you know, we've got to always remember what the teachers' unions did to our country during COVID. And I had to laugh because Randy Weingarten, you know, she's the head of the unions. She was on TV the other day. She said, we were in favor of shutting down the schools. Like, what is she talking about?
It's rewriting history.
Yeah,
all the time. Yeah, always remember what they did, and there's been no real outcome of that as of yet. All right, Stephen Moore, hey, appreciate it, and I'll put a link after this podcast comes out. I'll put a link ad you're running and to you as well.
Good.
And we appreciate.
And I want to remind your listeners, because I know you've got to go to the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. That's committeetounleashprosperity.com. And you can get and sign up for a free hotline. You know, I'm sure you get that every morning, and it's a little 5-bullet item, you know, thing. If you want to be the smartest in the room, get it. And you know what it costs? Zero. It's free. Just sign up.
That's like government money. It's free.
Exactly.
All right, Stephen. Hey, I appreciate it. Best wishes to you.
You too. Take care.
All right. Take care. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. We got to keep those ESAs going. It's so important. And I am disappointed, though, because there's no inflation adjustment in there. And I think that will, if if we get back to a point here in Arizona where we have a Republican governor and you can go back and tweak the empowerment scholarship accounts legislation, you'd have to put in, I can't believe they didn't do this, and I can't believe I missed it too, have to have an inflation adjuster and things nowadays. You know, my wife and I, Angela and I, we got new blinds at the Blind Brothers here just last year. I'm so happy with these blinds, and I'm so happy with the Blind Brothers. I've done the whole, you know, just order them from the website thing years and years ago, and it turned out to be an absolute disaster. We've got a company right here in northern Arizona that can get you blinds. They can come on in and measure your blinds. You're dealing directly with a northern Arizona company, no subcontractors. They measure everything. They'll take out the old blinds. They'll come on in and put the new blinds in. And right now, mention a Jeff Horvitz Show, you can get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Go to theblindbrothers.com. That's theblindbrothers.com, or call 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. If you're buying a home, don't be misled by teaser interest rates on the internet. Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and the first call you should make is to Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova makes local decisions like a bank, with better access to more programs like a broker, saving you time, effort, and money. Kim Dawson will show you how much cash you really need and what price range you actually qualify for. With Kim's pre-approval letter in hand, sellers know your offer is serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. Oh, and by the way, for a limited time, you get $250 off your lender fees when you mention me. Go ahead and call 928-310-6458 right now. That's 928-310-6458. I'm not convinced that, I appreciate Stephen Moore calling in. I just don't know how you, I guess even he said you don't have to pay off the debt. You just got to bring in more revenue than it is. Rob Wilson's here with me from Timberline Firearms and Training.
Sure am.
I don't know if he probably is figuring it, but I don't know how many people are figuring, like, what does the debt cost if interest rates are much higher? You know, all those other factors that, I don't know. Rob, I don't think anyone cares anymore.
Well, all the folks that have calculated that out are afraid to talk about it because they know how ugly it'll get and how fast it'll get that way.
It is ugly. What are we talking about next hour? Rob's going to stick around for the second hour of the show. We've got some stuff on pickleball courts. I don't know what you're talking about there, but government efficiency or inefficiency. Moms Demand Action. Is that a gun group?
They're a anti-firearms violence organization here in the city of Flag.
Are you like an associate member?
I am I'm a regular member.
Regular member?
I'm a mom.
You don't just have to be a mom?
No.
You like self-identifying as a mom? Am I going there?
Am I going there already,
Rob? Okay, we got all that coming up in the second hour. So stick around. Plus, don't forget about the giveaway. Rob's got something up there.
Yep.
Got the concealed carry course. Go to talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways, and fill that out. We're drawing at the end of this week because you know I'm going on vacation.
Good for you.
I'm not counting the days. I'm having a fun time today. All right, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Hang tight. Back in just a few.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Noah's Ark Card Game of Promise. Order online at noahsarkcardgame.com. Another hour starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Rob Wilson's here with me. He owns Timberline Firearms and Training. Set 5 years.
5 years last week. We've been open now. Yep.
Where does the time go?
I tell you, it's flown by. I'm
7 years on this show. And you've been here since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So you've been coming on this show for 7 years.
Woo. Wow.
And then 25 years, wedding anniversary coming up.
And that's the big trip,
May 30th. And yeah, so this is my, I'm doing this whole week. We're cranking in. We'll be going right through Friday. A lot of guests coming in. But as they come in, like Rob's going to stay an extra hour or two or three after, and you have to eat some more of that candy after we're done here, after the 5 o'clock hour is done, because we're going to, I'm bringing you all new programming next week. And I've got a lot of interviews, a lot of guests lined up. So Thursday I'm hitting, like, all morning I'll be doing interviews. So I want you to know that even though I'm taking, this is rare for me, I'm taking 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Next week will be all new programming. I just won't have, if the, when the debt ceiling gets resolved, like this Sunday night, you know, right before Memorial Day, last minute, I won't have that update for you. But I'm telling you right now, it's, they're going to resolve it. Just, we had Stephen Moore, economist, last hour, and they're going to do it, but
they have to.
They're really cheating anyway. They're defaulting through inflation and devaluation of your currency.
It's all play money.
It is. And it's, I don't see how we get out of this, Rob.
It's $185 billion a day the federal government is spending.
And I don't know what this number is, between 40 and 55% of the percentage of government that is the economy now. You know, we have a $23 trillion economy. Well, figure 12 trillion dollars of that is government spending from state, local state to up to feds.
Yeah.
That is insane. I mean, I don't think people realize how insane that is. I don't know if there's ever been an economy through history that's spent that kind of money in a free market type economy. I mean, you know, not talking Cuba here where it just didn't matter.
No,
this is insane.
There's just no way. No way at all. And it was never intended to be anything like this. The whole point the founders had was to limit and government and reduce its size and reduce its control over your day-to-day life.
Yeah, not happening. And
look where we are.
Sadly, I don't, and this was something I missed that I should have mentioned with my interview with Stephen Moore last hour. There's not enough people that care, because he was talking about the Republicans and Democrats, how they all like to spend money. But the reality is the American populace likes to spend money. Likes to get money, likes the programs.
Right.
The majority at this point. And that's hard to recover from and change, because you're going to take away someone's pudding. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Every one of these new programs that we introduce that ends up giving money away or whatever away to someone else, you know, taking your tax dollars and giving it to someone else some way, is something that we can never stop.
Yeah.
It turns out they end up being forevers.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey, I went to Sportsman's last week, Sportsman's Bar and Grill. I
thought you were talking about someplace else.
Yeah. No. I'll go out to Timberline. I still got to go. I still have a gift card with partial gift card that I got to go out. We've been shooting the 410 that we bought out there from you for Owen. We've been dove hunting. Haven't been shooting at the dove because we keep finding the it's the mourning dove that are not in season right now. We see them everywhere. They have the triangular tail.
Yep.
The Eurasian dove, which have like a square tail, it's like an invasive species at this point. Mm-hmm. That season's open. All we see is mourning dove. I mean, of course, everywhere.
Yep.
So we wind up going out trying to hunt for a couple hours, and then we do a little target shooting on the way back in, and it's 410 is working out great anyway.
Good.
But Sportsman's Bar and Grill, I've never really had this one on my radar, and it's the Pozzoli. Ooh, it was good. I was there last week. Sportsman's been voted best sports bar in Flagstaff tons of years in a row. They had the red Pozzoli. Maybe they're onto green now. They kind of alternate. They get a big batch going. It's like on their $4 menu.
Oh, wow.
I almost could have eaten that by itself and gotten a nice cold drink, because they have happy hour as well.
Yep.
On especially the Mexican beers. I think they're $3 or something like that. So check out the Pozzoli when you go up to Sportsman's and get a great drink as well. Okay. What do we got, Rob? We've got a long list we got to hit. Oh, the water. Okay, so this one I mentioned a few weeks ago on the program. There's a push to cut Colorado water taking.
Use.
Thank you. And I had thought that they were shooting for 10%. An agreement has been reached. Is this today?
Today, yeah.
Okay, give me the nuts and bolts.
Federal government has signed a deal now with the seven states that surround the Colorado to reduce the overall amount of water that we take out of it by 30%.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now,
that's a significant amount of water, obviously. And, you know, it begs the question of, okay, so what was all that water being used for that we're not going to be able to use it for anymore?
How much a lot of farming, right?
How much of it was irrigation for farming, right? And how would the federal government convince people to stop using water like that? And like everything else, the magic pixie dust is
sledgehammer
money.
Okay.
$1 billion the federal government is going to be paying to municipalities in these seven different states in order to get them to cut their water supply, their water use.
A billion total or a billion to like?
Well, it's $1 billion between now and 2026. So yeah. I suspect it'll be, okay, now we have to go back to these zero water urinals that got put in probably during your time at City Hall. They put them into City Hall. They put them in at the airport. They put them in all over the place. And there was a sign next to them said, you know, 50,000 gallons of water is saved every day with this zero water urinal.
Yeah, but like a new disease formed in there. Like,
yeah, now they've all been removed.
Yeah, because they're nasty. And,
yeah.
So you think that could be a way to go back to those urinals? Well, they'll probably just have you go out back and pee on a tree. I mean, that would
that's
be
probably better in the grand scheme of things, probably, you know?
We have to, going back to the old ways here.
Yep.
Sorry, folks, it's one of those days. I mean, I'm trying to think of how the low-hanging fruit has been picked on a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We've made dishwashers so efficient that they stink, and then we're going to cut them from 5 gallons to 3 gallons. The toilets.
Washing machines. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have a thimble full of water in these things, and you're going to have to run it 83 times to get it to work. There's a point of diminishing return on a lot of this stuff, and I think we've picked the fruit.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah, we are there.
And that's why they're having to offer up $1 billion to.
Okay.
Well,
they got the money. I mean, we're talking about the debt ceiling, and the country's only $32 trillion. It, right? Yeah, only $32 trillion in debt. So,
yeah.
Hey. Why not just sprinkle some money? And you think about they're doing this all over the place for other types of things.
Absolutely.
You know, in the nation.
Just one example.
I just don't see that. Okay, 30%, that's a massive amount of water. You have to take into account also that Arizona and the Southwest in general is growing tremendously when it comes to the population.
Right.
That's the real cause of the drawdown on the water. It's just there's a lot more people, a lot more activities like farming that all the activities that people bring. We just came off of a heck of a winter.
Yeah, and one of the wettest winters on record.
What was with that rain this weekend? It just kept raining. That's weird for May.
Isn't that awesome?
That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
My corn is like dance. I got corn down in Camp Verde.
Oh, okay.
It is row after row, glimmering rows. I love it. I'm going to have, if this all happens and, comes to fruition here, I will be giving you corn for doing the show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
I finally get something for this.
So you get my gratitude.
Yeah.
30% cut. It'd have to be a lot of cuts to farming, throughout, especially Arizona.
Yep. They're going to have to maybe change the way they irrigate. I don't know. I've gotten into the details.
That costs a lot of money. One hand, you get $1 billion. On the other hand, you have to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions changing all the systems, at least the private sector.
Right. That isn't as effective or perhaps. Just, like the low flush toilets. How many times do you have to flush them?
Yeah.
You cut down the water use by 30% with a low flush toilet,
but you flush
it two or three times.
Yeah.
To get it to work. Well, what have we done?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, we'll see how this all turns out.
Yep.
Judging by other things, probably not good, but I'll try to remain optimistic. Let's see here I'm in Flagstaff today. You've got the Flag Pride event coming up. I went to Target, by the way.
Oh, did you? Did you see any interesting products on sale at Target?
Well, here's what I don't get. I am a vehemently, how do you say that?
Yeah.
I get that close.
Vehemently.
Opposed to months, any month, Rob Wilson month.
Yeah.
Whatever month you want to come up with, this month, that month, hot dog day. I kind of like that one. The days. I'm just like so sick of people picking what month I'm supposed to celebrate, who I'm supposed to celebrate. I'm just done with it. But if you're going to do it, I think Pride Month is June.
Yep.
It's like getting like Christmas. It comes out in like April, May. So Target had that big display there for Pride Month. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. They're a private company. Do whatever the heck they want. I don't have to shop there. I don't particularly shop at Target too much anyway, because I don't know. It's cross town, and I think it's more money, but it's all good. But they're getting a lot of flack because they are pushing, if you go to their website, the transgender stuff for the kids and the books. I mean, some of the books I was looking at were just absurd. And, it's just like, I got to walk through. I guess I don't need to walk through there, but if I did, in this case, we were looking for a gift for Angela for her birthday this past weekend. Mm-hmm. You gotta go buy it, and you gotta see, you know, this the tuck outfit.
If you're walking by with your children,
yeah,
and they notice the advertisement that says this is swimwear that's designed to facilitate a tuck.
You're like, what's a tuck?
How do you have that conversation to explain why that would be something you would be interested in doing?
I had the conversation with my wife. I was like, I don't get it, but
yeah,
I was trying to figure out the logistics. because they talk about taping. Sorry, people. I try to keep the show PG, ouch. But we don't live in a PG world anymore. I mean, it's just like...
And the problem is, it's in your face now.
That's your point.
That's the point. The group that's going to take over Heritage Square.
It's okay, what is this taking over? This is downtown Flagstaff.
Yeah, on June 3rd, this coming first Friday for the Art Walk, there's the Flag Pride group apparently is going to take over Heritage Square, and they are going to have kings and queens entertaining, I guess would be the word.
Okay.
And their philosophy is, we don't care if there's children there. We don't care if this isn't something that we've been, you know, authorized to do. We haven't applied for a permit or anything like that. We're just going to go there and take it over. So it's going to be a in your face kind of a thing.
June 3rd.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you're not listening to the show, you're unsuspecting, you're down there with your, you know, your little kid and you're having a picnic. And
yeah, you were going to go to the movies in the square, or, you know, the kinds of things that normally happen downtown in Heritage Square. Instead, you're going to see a group of people who know that they're violating the rules. They know they're doing something that's going to create controversy, and they're doing it to draw attention to themselves and apparently their issue, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Mm. And they're okay with, if I get arrested, that's okay. I don't know why folks feel the need to do that. The civil of our society seems to be slipping away at a faster and faster rate.
It's just crumbling around us. And it's hard, Rob, because you look at it and you say, well, I can basically close the gates, do what they did during Roman times, and go out to the country and get 1,000 acres and close off. But then you isolate it from society. But I would like to be part of society. I just don't want things crammed down my throat. I'd like to be able to go down to Heritage Square or my city downtown and not have something that's so... I want to be fair here. When I'm out there, you know, I don't want to see, you know, a couple making out in the public square. You know, an old married couple, and it's like you're sitting there with your kids and they're just making out. I don't want to see two dudes making out. I don't want to see a guy and a girl making out. I'm not saying that's the only thing that's going on there. I don't want to see people, you know, having to explain to my kids, you know, why is that person, you know, topless? Last time I went downtown with the family, it was the Free to Nipple crowd. Mm. And it's like, I'm just there trying to, you know, get some ice cream or whatever.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm there with the kids, and they're maybe 6, 5, 6, 7 at the time. And all of a sudden it's girls that come by that say, well, I should be able to just walk around topless. It's Free to Nipple. And I was like, I didn't know that was going on today. You know, so it's like, why do I have that in my face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What motivates them to feel the need to have to do that deliberately in your face? What's the confrontational component to this, and what's the payback to them for it?
Well, exactly.
I guess it's the visibility. I guess it's
getting the attention. That's so much nowadays.
You know, are they desensitizing everyone to these kinds of things, and therefore, you know, achieving their goals of you know, normalizing this kind of stuff?
Perhaps.
But it gets more and more difficult for me
to go out.
I like to you know, live and let live instead of force my beliefs on somebody
else.
Me
too. And I mean, in fairness, when some dude's riding down the road and he's in really good shape and he's got his shirt off, I'm like, okay, put your shirt on, buddy. Maybe that's just jealousy.
You're shaming me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but yeah. Okay, so this is, and Moms Demand Action is a group that does what?
So the National Moms Demand Action Organization has a goal of reducing firearms violence in the United States.
Okay.
And I 100% support that. I'm a member of the local moms chapter. I go to their meetings. Apparently, there's a few of their members aren't real pleased that I go to their meetings. and I've learned that there's an awful lot of information at those meetings that gets kind of left out. The facts behind the real story oftentimes gets missed.
They need your perspective, I think.
Well, that's good. You know, it's been an interesting relationship, and the majority of them have shown a lot of respect mutually, as I have to
good.
Them.
That's good.
And that's the way we're supposed to work through problems.
Yeah. Let me guess, they're a lot into, or am I assuming, a lot into gun control?
Well, yeah, they'd like to see a lot more gun control laws. Yeah. And most of them that they're being proposed have either already been tried and don't work, or are not constitutional.
Yeah, they've
in the first
already
place.
Been litigated.
So, yeah. So it you know, I'd really rather see folks focus on, you know, the root cause, the behavior, and on educating children about being safe around firearms. Those are the two things I think that have the best potential to actually reduce firearms violence.
And this, the reason why I mention this group is because they're pushing to show up at the Heritage Square event. The Kings and
they
Queens.
They were invited to table there. And so while the Kings and Queens are entertaining us, the Moms group's going to be there sharing information about their organization.
June 3rd, you probably don't want to stay away. Here's another societal one that's just kind of strange. You know, I've talked a lot about folks who are walking around with pajamas nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's just a little kind of pet peeve to me. I was just thinking, like, maybe just put on a pair of pants or a pair of shorts or something, you know. But, okay, you're comfortable. You're wearing pajamas. You know, they're just saying they're comfortable pants now, right? And it's like, they're pajamas.
And maybe pull them up above halfway of your butt. You know?
Well, yeah, and I see, I was watching, there is a lot of women, especially in bigger cities, young Gen Zers who are going out, and they're pretty much wearing almost nothing. It's like this movement. You're always taking it to the next level. So now it's like, everything's almost exposed when they go out. And they're saying, well, it empowers me because you can look, but you can't touch, blah, blah, blah. But again, you're out in public, and there used to be some kind of decency and kind of standards of, okay, no shoes, no shirts, no service type of thing, flip-flop. You know, now it's like, I think that's all out the window. But there is a Gen Z going out in their underwear, basically, and going out. So it's we're going to pajamas, now we're going to, I might just go out in my underwear.
Yeah, and what's next, you know?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what is next?
Where do we go?
Where do you go after you do that?
And where's the self-respect of the folks that do that? Do you respect yourself when you're behaving in those ways?
I don't think so. They try to act like it's an empowerment thing, but I think it's just really, for the most part, attention grabbing. Back in the 80s, you know, you had Madonna doing the videos, and that was so risky. And now it'd just be like, that's like a joke for Gen Zers and all that. So then there's the next thing. Then next thing, you know, we're watching, was that Super Bowl? I don't know, Super Bowl, one of these sporting events, something, and they had the Satan guy on. You know, with the horns and the whole, you know, I can't remember his name. I was like, I never even heard of the guy until that point. But everybody, the culture is just kind of degrading. But I think also everybody's trying to outdo each other to get noticed, especially in the social media era of, and, you know, everything's out there all the time.
Yeah, I think you can tie that back to the way that we've changed the way that we raise kids. In schools, you know, everybody has to be a hero in schools now. So everybody's competing for attention. And the way you compete for attention, if you're not maybe academically getting it, or, you know, getting it in a way, you know, you're performing in some type of a sporting event or something like that, what's left for the rest of us that want attention? Mm-hmm. We have to act out.
Yeah. And we're seeing that more and more.
And the more we act out, the more attention we get. So we're rewarding the behavior that we don't want to see.
We absolutely are. All right. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, why don't you give Justin and his team at Desert Gold Exchange a call? Might be a good, I can't give any kind of financial advice or anything, but,
can I?
If Yellen was rolling out that $1 trillion, platinum coin, you know, to deposit and try to take care of the debt ceiling and all that. I like to own a little bit of physical gold and silver really as an insurance policy because it's been around for a little while. And it's just crazy when there's no fiscal discipline in DC and really in this nation anymore. I don't think there will be until a calamity comes, and that could be a month from now. It could be 100 years for all I know. You just don't know how long they can pull rabbits.
Could be a week and a half when the debt ceiling is.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if they just let it go. It'd be like a shock for a few days, and then the world would go on. I don't know if it'd
be just like shutting down the government, you know? We're not paying any government employees until they all come back.
Until they come back and took a vacation, anyway. We're going to back pay them. Anyway, my point being, looking into physical gold and silver, I think it's pretty important. At least educate yourself. Call Justin and this family-owned Arizona-based company and get you physical gold and silver delivered, usually just in a couple of days. I know because I'm a customer of Desert Gold Exchange. Call them up. 888-852-4343. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show when you do that. 888-852-4343. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Now, here's why. Most insurance companies, they use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try to route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop on by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading, and it'll save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass before, as I have, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on in. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Remember, always call Diamond Auto Glass first, 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Rob Wilson's with me from Timberline Firearms and Training. He's got his great giveaway up at talkwithjeff.com. Click on sponsors and giveaways. Carry concealed course,
yep.
Which I think is a very awesome thing you should do.
I teach that one myself.
It's
a really good course. Yep.
Okay. That's like a Saturday one you do?
It is.
Okay. So if you go sign up for the giveaway, talkwithjeff.com, that's one of the many prizes up there. What is that? About $1 million value? 100?
With me as an instructor, at least. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, at least that. If we had to put a dollar figure on it, that'd be $100 and something bucks, but people think they're getting $1 million.
$125 normally.
So yep. That's well worth it. So go to talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways, and get in on that. Let's see here. I broke down. I do want to give a shout out to Crazy Country Boys Services, Big Jim over there. Because I broke down yesterday, coming back up. Second time this has happened, I was pulling, you saw my tractor out there. I was pulling that up with my, I have a Nissan Titan. And, you know, when I pull on the shit with Chevy Tahoe, I've never had a problem. 200,000 miles, traveled all over the country. This thing did the same thing. It idled down to 1,000 RPM. I had to pull over. Luckily, there was room, and it was right past the guardrail.
Construction zone?
Yeah, it was right by, like, before the Sonoma exit when you're kind of climbing up kind of heavy.
Where you see all those cars broke down normally.
Yeah, that was me. But it wasn't an overheat or anything. It was just a computer problem again. So I got to tow it over to and get it fixed. I don't know. It's one of those weird dealership parts that's like the computer core type. But anyway, I called Jim, and he's like, because it's kept running. After it broke down, 1,000 RPM, it shut it down, pulled the key out, it's just running. It's like, that's weird. I've never had that. And I called Jim, and he's like, yeah, I've never really seen that either. He's like, yeah, just pull the fuse that says ignition. But it didn't say ignition. It's like IG or something. Yeah. I was like, what is an IG? I guess. So I'm like,
start pulling fuses.
And it came right out. But anyway, I wanted to give him a shout out. And a great mechanic here in Northern Arizona, 928-607-9753. Okay, when we come back. You want to hit on some advertising issues that you're running into. We've also got, I want to talk, I got a question about Kerry Lake election trial, a question from Bob. I want to try to get you some facts on what's going on.
They wrapped
with
up
that.
On Friday.
They did wrap up, so we'll get you those details. So hang tight, back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
Rod's got a story here about advertising when it comes to especially the Second Amendment and guns. So this one you're going to shake your head over. Hey, Zero Res of Northern Arizona, I mean, they got a great system that they can get your carpets cleaned. They also do your couches, the fabric on your couches, vehicles, and tile floors. So, you know, you get that... You think about carpet, you're always vacuuming, but tile floors get that gunk in the grout joints and all that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain.
The grout is like a sponge.
It is. You're there with like a toothbrush, or somebody is.
That's what kids are for.
Angela, if you're listening, you know, she's done that many times. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, grout cleaning.
Ooh.
You know, hours and hours. But Zero Res, NorthernArizona.
Do it for you.
.com. It'll take care of that. Got 20% off vehicle cleanings going on through the end of June here. Just use the promo code MAYGETAWAY. I guess really for June, too. MAYGETAWAY. They'll take care of that, and they use their ZR water. Zero Res is no residue, so great system there. They got another carpet cleaning special, three rooms for $129. I think the promo code on that one is also May Getaway as well. So get some money off on these things and get ZeroResOfNorthernArizona.com, ZeroResNorthernArizona.com to come on in and they'll do a good job. Something you don't want it. Oh, house cleaning too. That's always good.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of great services there. Okay. So Rob owns Timberline Firearms and Training. And, you know, for some people, guns are scary. Not for me, not for most of this crowd that's listening.
Not for people that take the time to learn a little bit about
them. Take the time to learn a little bit. Yep. I mean, it's just, which we do with our kids and our family. We're always out shooting. And, you know, I was just talking about the 410 that we bought from you, Rob. You do advertising. You advertise on this show here.
Sure.
And then you do other advertising.
That's part of being a small business owner is advertising your business. That's
hey, we're part here.
Of capitalism. And
so where did you used to advertise?
Well, I, in the past, have advertised at the Flagstaff Airport.
Okay.
At the baggage claim belt there, there's a little monitor up on the wall.
Yeah.
And I ran a little 10-second long video clip that had some people standing at a rental counter smiling, and then it showed somebody shooting a firearm on the range at a paper target.
You are a
it's pretty
radical.
Yeah, I mean
radical,
pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
But it shows everybody having fun, everybody being safe under close supervision. You know, the things safe and responsible firearms ownership is our motto. Mm-hmm. So that's what it represented.
Okay.
So I contacted the airport because I run these during the summer when we have, you know, tourists coming through. And they said, oh, well, we've got a new communications director at the airport. We don't sub out the management of our advertising anymore.
Warning signs.
So our new communications director is going to have to review your video before we can you know, air it for you on the monitor. And so she said, you know, send me a copy of your video and I will send you out a contract and we should be good to go. It's like, okay, great. So I send the video over to her and I get a response back saying, sorry, this violates the terms of our advertising agreement, which says one of, and she highlighted the line in the agreement or in the rules there. It says it cannot represent by language or graphics violence or associated behavior.
Violence or associated. So shooting a gun inside in a controlled
in a shooting environment range.
At a shooting range is depicting either violence or. Another word?
Antisocial behavior.
Well, were they there alone? I mean, what does that mean?
I don't.
So now they're the determination, they determine who is antisocial and what an ad is, if an ad is antisocial. If there's somebody just, I want to go do an ad just like just, you're just sitting in a room by yourself, you know? Yeah. I'm antisocial.
A person sitting on a chair doing nothing in an empty room.
Yeah. Like if you were promoting, like what would be like meditation where you're just staring at a candle by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is Jeff's meditation guru shop where you come all by yourself for 3 days and you don't eat and you just stare at a candle. Yeah. Would they run that? You know they would.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If there was someone advertising a group that is for gun control, and they here's a test. If they, and I hope they're listening.
If I ran an anti-gun,
ad. So you're
of a gun,
Look at these. They could show the same clip. You should do this. I hope they're not listening now. So you say, hey, I want to get somebody else to do it. I want to run this ad. We're against guns, or we want gun control. There should be no AR-15s, and then at your range or whatever, show the same commercial, the same clip. And see if they take it.
Yeah.
Would that be great? Because I bet you, now they won't, but I bet you they would have.
They gave me a suggestion.
Okay.
After telling me they wouldn't run the ad the way that it has been run before there at the airport for, you know, several years in the past, they said an option would be to revise the video without any images of guns.
You are a gun shop and shooting range.
It's kind of the whole
point. It's kind of the whole point. could you do air pistol? Like, could you do your finger? Shooting range?
Air guns?
Yeah, just, you know, when you're kids, here's where zero tolerance just gets stupid, where we have a blanket policy. So especially boys, young boys, like Owen's age, they're running around with, I'm doing that finger gun.
The finger gun thing,
The thumb and the hammer, pointer finger.
Trigger
and boo, 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 you know? I got the good sound effects.
Yeah.
Kids do this all the time. You do this in some schools now.
that'll get you suspended or expelled.
Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance.
Drawing a handgun.
Yeah.
I mean, your finger gun.
Yeah.
Can get you suspended.
Now, not where my kids currently go to school, but where a lot of kids go to school.
Yep.
That's, and then kids' lives get ruined. Although getting kicked out of those schools is not getting ruined. You just go to a better school at that point. But that's what I'm saying.
It's a life
lesson. The society is, oh, we can't do that because somebody may be offended. Oh, come on. I got to watch so much crap on TV all the time or go to the store and see, walk by the displays I don't want to walk by. I got to deal with your garbage. Well, stop being such a baby.
I was going to say the segment we just finished where we talked about people doing things in your face. We're going to have kings and queens entertaining ourselves in Heritage Square, whether we like it or not. Those very same people are probably the ones that just shut down my ad. You know,
make a guess,
or would have supported that.
Someone like this. Yeah, exactly.
So that's okay. But a Second Amendment protected activity and a First Amendment right of mine to advertise that is not.
And here's the thing is there the you told me the city's taking over this now. So now it's not even the private sector saying
no,
we will because it used to be one of the big.
Yeah, there was a major nationwide.
Yeah, they own all the billboards and all this and that. And so they don't. They must have got out of that business there, whatever. For whatever reason, the city took over contract. Ended. I don't know what the details are. And now they're they determine.
They'll determine of what is and is not violence and antisocial
behavior.
Yes.
This whole. I wonder if they should broadcast this show on there. They would be considered antisocial, perhaps.
Probably. Yeah.
I am all for not antisocial. I want to be part of society and not have to hide from the craziness.
Right.
Every single day. Okay, well, just they don't get your money then.
Right? Well, I'm not done.
Yeah.
I'm going to pursue this a little bit because...
Yeah, you have to. You have to. Too many migrants. They used to be called... Well, they used to be called illegal aliens. Then they were undocumented.
Yeah.
Now it's just migrants. That's just people wandering around. This comment... no, actually, this is an article from... Fox, then Mayor Adams, this is Mayor Adams in New York. York City. He says we have 108, he gets time to figure this out. He's got some staff for 108,000 cities, villages, and towns. Adams said, when asked if the federal government should send migrants elsewhere, if everyone takes, here's a quote from, cause they're upset because they have so many migrants, illegal aliens wandering around and they got a house. And I hear hotels are getting booked up there and all this, right?
They're closing down hotels reservations that they had so they can put.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear about the wedding party? Yeah. They kicked them.
They booted the entire wedding party out.
It's like you're planning on getting married. It's like make way because somebody came from wherever and is now in the country. So you don't get to pay. Anyway, Adams said when asked if the federal government should send migrants elsewhere, if everyone takes a small portion of that and if it's coordinated at the border.
Oh, yeah.
Coordinated at the border. This guy's funny saying this from New York.
He needs to visit the border.
Yeah, right? To ensure that those who are coming here to this country in a lawful manner is actually moved throughout the entire country. It's not a burden on any one city. Yeah. Well, come on. Go talk to the mayor. The mayor of New York should talk to the mayor of Yuma.
There you go.
For example, or one of the mayors in Texas.
Any of our border cities.
And say,
have been overrun by crime and violence and drugs. And
you believe these people, Rob? I mean, it's just like, what world do they? They live in the big city world, half the country, and they have no connection with the rest of us. No clue. No clue how we live. And they're the ones that come up with crap like you were just talking about. It's like you can't advertise this on TV because the CNN article I was talking about last week or this newscast about the 4-day school week coming to the cities now.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the rural communities because they're all farmers.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay. I got a comment here from Bob. Love your show. We would like more updates on the Kerry Lake trial, please. It's over, right? Yep. 3-day? Was it 3 days?
They presented the closing arguments on Friday.
Okay. Superior Court Judge Peter Thompson, he's going to come up with a verdict, I guess, or whatever, ruling in the next couple days to couple weeks. So, and what she was trying to, and he set a really high bar, I guess. He wants clear and convincing evidence, quote unquote, of quote unquote complete failure to verify signatures by higher level reviewers and prove with competent mathematical basis that it cost Kerry Lake the election. So it's a very high bar.
And boy, is it.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that.
Well, you know, and the problem here is what they're They're kind of in a technicality here, a little bit. But what she's asking is that there were so many mail-in ballots that there was just physically not enough time for the signatures on those mail-in ballots to have been verified against the records that the elections offices hold. And that's required by state elections law, that they have to be verified. So this judge is saying, not only do you have to prove to me that they weren't verified, you also have to prove to me that it cost the election.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you would do that.
It's really hard.
Which ones were and were not? And, you know.
Yeah, because you get to see the mail-in ballot, and I had Wendy Rogers on last hour talking about Sonny Borelli's bill or concurrent resolution, I think she called it, to the counties that basically they can't use machines coming up in this next election if any of the parts are foreign parts. And mm-hmm. I asked her, is that you're talking about screws and nuts and bolts? She said, any parts. It's like, okay, so you're trying to push paper ballots, getting back to the polling place locations, which I'm all in favor for. I think we can all take one day every 2 years and actually go to a polling place that's open for, 12 plus hours.
As a citizen, the very bare minimum that you should be expected to do is to exercise your right to vote. Exactly. We have responsibilities as citizens.
You have time to stream 8 hours of Netflix or whatever you watch in a day. I think you can.
Yeah.
You know, and most, I know everyone listening, they're all for that. They'd go do that in a heartbeat. But yeah, it's where was I going with that one, Rob? But, oh, Carrie Lake. Okay. It's all the envelopes. Yep. And you're supposed to sign the outside, the mail-in ballots. And then they're supposed to verify from when you registered or whatever, updated your registration, that it matches.
Right. There's a comparison by an actual physical
couple million?
Person that looks at the two different signatures and makes sure they look remotely similar.
Yeah. And you're talking millions of ballots being dumped in a short period, a few week period of time.
Right.
And even a lot on election day.
Yeah. Mm. And even things like petitions have to be verified. There was a gentleman here in Flagstaff a couple of years ago that submitted a whole bunch of petitions that had exactly the same handwriting and a whole bunch of very similar signatures. Right. Yeah. And, you know.
So, went to court and paid the price on that one.
He did. Yeah. But it happens.
Yeah.
We know it happens. So,
Bob, thank you for that email. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. As soon as we know, unless I'm on vacation, which is very likely, somebody else will have to tell you on that one. My guess is, and Rob, you probably concur, probably nothing going to happen here on that one.
Probably not.
The case I would watch, and we had Abraham Hamaday on last week. He ran for attorney general. He only lost by 260
or something like
that. Yeah, less than 500 votes. Yep. And he's there trying to get permission to basically look at thousands of the ballots, provisionals that were kind of they're all in a box still.
Yeah.
And when you're talking, you're only behind by a couple hundred votes and there's 10,000 or 9,000, he said, check out the interview from, I think it was last Thursday or Friday show. Something could happen with that one.
Absolutely.
It could happen with that one. And he cited precedents where someone was in office for a year and they got removed and the other person came in, found to have to won the election. All right, your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Gutter Helmet is in their third year with us here on the show, and I really appreciate Gutter Helmet. What I really actually appreciate is so many of my neighbors have come to me who have gotten this system and said, hey, man, this thing works so great. I don't have to go up on the roof anymore. I don't have to unclog my gutters because Gutter Helmet has a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles, deflects all the debris and all that junk. They got like 80 million feet, I think, installed throughout the U.S., over 40 years of experience. Gutter Helmet offers the best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty on performance and materials. You don't want to go up on that roof anymore. You don't want to climb up on that ladder. Then call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now at 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. And by the way, if you mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you save up to 30%. So call or text right now, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. If you're buying a home, don't be misled by teaser interest rates on the internet. Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and the first call you should make is to Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. As Arizona's largest privately owned mortgage lender, Nova makes local decisions like a bank, with better access to more programs like a broker, saving you time, effort, and money. Kim Dawson will show you how much cash you really need and what price range you actually qualify for. With Kim's pre-approval letter in hand, sellers know your offer is serious. It's almost like having cash in hand. For purchase or refinance, call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. Oh, and by the way, for a limited time, you can get $250 off your lender fees when you mention me. Go ahead and call 928-310-6458 right now. That's 928-310-6458. I guess that's it for that Metro Center down in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a bunch of articles on that. I mean, that was the mall. I used to go down there. Like
right
in high school.
Right?
Yeah. And that was like almost the outskirts of Phoenix.
Yeah, that was
in the
North 90s. Almost,
yeah, we'd go out there and there was no anthem, no nothing like that. And it was like, you're in Phoenix, you're kind of in Phoenix once you hit Metro Center, a huge mall. And I guess they're making some new huge thing, like high end housing.
Wasn't there roller coasters, coasters? And
I don't know if they're keeping that. Too. That was out in the front there. Yeah, we've been there. We've had a good time on that. Castles and Coasters or something? Maybe I'm wrong on that. What do you got going on in Timberline? Since you're like 5 years now, and you got summertime coming up. Anything
folks should know? Yeah, lots of new training opportunities. We got a new chief training officer in. Spent the last 13 years driving the boats the SEALs ride around in. So he's
Wow.
A lot of interesting training that he's done with them.
You can do that one. That'd be a good one to learn.
How to be a special boat operator.
Yeah. Just probably got a new lake out there.
Out here in Lake Mary, if you see a bunch of odd-looking boats with machine guns on them, you'll know what's going
on. Yeah, they might say you're doing antisocial behavior.
That's probably antisocial. Yeah, that might qualify.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay, so a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah. Okay. More active training, you know, hands-on kinds of things, personal defense kinds of things, lots of that kind of stuff going on.
But you will not hear about it at the Flagstaff Airport.
Apparently not.
I think they're losing out.
Well,
they need to be more diverse.
We will see. I would just ask that they respect my business as much as they respect any other business that's legal. Yeah. I'm one of the most highly regulated businesses in the city.
Yeah, right? You know? Exactly.
So, you know, if you can't trust that one, who can you trust?
Okay, so take a quick drive out there. You know where it's at, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, and call up 928-526-7900. You can book training. That's a good gift, too, by the way.
It is. Great gift to give to a friend or a loved one. We have introduction classes that for folks that have never shot before, so lots of great opportunities.
Good stuff. All right, Rob. Rob's sticking around because we're going to record some stuff for next week.
Yep.
So we got a good one for you, and I'm not sure what day it'll air yet, but next week I'm jam-packed when I go away, take a little time off, 25th anniversary. All right, Rob, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, folks. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4:06. Hope you all have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon.